Welcome to Tech San Diego Spotlight. I'm your host, Kevin Carroll, Executive Director of Tech San Diego, coming to you from technology's perfect climate and from the temporary global headquarters of Tech San Diego in Rancho Penasquitos. We have a great podcast planned for today. I have been waiting a few weeks to tee up this subject. You know, in San Diego, a lot of people commenting on the regional tech community are really quick to build up the regional tech community, but most of the time, it's really just some anecdotal evidence. Well, this podcast is going to be different. We're going to take an in-depth look at CBRE's popular new report titled The Tech 30, which looks at 30 of North America's hottest tech spots. And guess who's in there? Yes, of course San Diego is in there, but I think what you might be surprised about is how well San Diego ranks. Here to help us understand the report are Colin Yasuguchi, Executive Director, Tech Insight Center for CBRE. Let me read you a little bit about Colin. For over 20 years, Colin has specialized in strategic research and advisory services for commercial real estate, providing insight that reveals opportunities and guides decision-making. He currently serves as CBRE's executive director of its newly formed Tech Insight Center based in San Francisco, California. Colin, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Joining Colin will be Dennis Hurst, Senior Vice President for CBRE. Dennis is here locally in San Diego and brings over 30 years of commercial real estate broker experience to CBRE. Since 1990, Dennis has exclusively represented tenants and occupiers. He specializes in law firm and corporate tenant representation, build-to-suit representation, client portfolio management, and lease versus own analysis. In the last 10 years alone, he has successfully negotiated a lease transaction in excess of $1 billion in total consideration and sale transactions in excess of $400 million. On a side note, Dennis is also a member of the Tech San Diego Board of Directors. Dennis, welcome.
Happy to be here.
So, Colin, your newest research project on tech is called the Tech 30. Is that what it's called? Am I getting the name right there?
Yes, it's called the Tech 30 Report because we cover 30 cities in the U.S. and Canada.
So I've been perusing the report the past couple of days, and one of the key messages that I've seen is really resiliency and how kind of resilient the tech industry has been. And obviously, that translates into real estate and commercial real estate. But talk to me a little bit about how tech has been resilient and maybe give us an example of that compared to other industries.
Sure. So one of the interesting parts about this particular report is just sort of the timing of the release of the report with the COVID-19 pandemic and how that's impacted our economy. And what we found was that the tech industry was very resilient, certainly most of it, but not all of it, where we've come to rely upon tech products and services to really get us through this pandemic, whether it's e-commerce, getting our grocery delivered, home entertainment, Zoom calls, GoToMeeting, you name it, video conferencing. And so many of these companies have seen their business actually increase through the pandemic because they've become much more relied upon to get us through this. And the other thing that we also noticed is when we looked at the tech industry job creation, it certainly has slowed down from the rapid pace of the last several years. But we've really only seen about 58,000 jobs that are lost so far in 2020, which is under 2%, which is pretty amazing considering, you know, how much the economy has contracted during this pandemic. And the other things that we looked at fairly closely have to do with what is the future going to look like for tech and how does that sort of relate to resilience? So the first thing was we looked at venture capital funding. And what we found is by the end of this year in 2020, we're probably going to have about as much venture capital funding as we did in 2019, which was a record year. So the investors who are putting their money to work in these companies and putting their money on the line have a lot of confidence in these companies to continue to grow and innovate. So that's something very positive that we looked at. And then the second thing is for larger companies that are in the public markets. If you look at the NASDAQ index and even the stock values of some of these particular companies who are doing well in e-commerce, streaming, you know, social media, you name it, that these stock prices have gone up pretty dramatically after coming down in March, that they're at all-time highs. And that tells you that, again, that investors have a lot of confidence in these tech companies and that once things start to normalize, that the tech industry is probably going to take off again, like it did in the past, you know, maybe not to the robust extent that we've seen over the last few years, but certainly we feel that tech is going to be a leader going forward as we continue to digitalize our economy.
Yeah, it's interesting that you drew the correlation between markets, and that would seem like an obvious correlation, but there was one graph I saw, the NASDAQ, that showed a direct correlation between job hiring and growth of the market, which was interesting. So tell me about the purpose of the report.
So the purpose of the report is just really what you just said. We're trying to tie the tech industry job creation to the 30 office markets that we're tracking in the US and Canada. So, you know, in real estate, it's typical that you create jobs and you need real estate, right? And so how do those two things sort of relate to each other? And that's what we really are trying to ascertain. And certainly, you know, the usual suspects have seen the largest amount of job growth, whether that was Vancouver being the top job growth market, you know, the San Francisco Bay Area being up there as well as another top growth market. And markets like Austin and Seattle and even New York have seen a lot of jobs added to their tech roles, which created demand for real estate.
Yeah, it's really is an interesting report. Colin, tell us real quick where you download that so if people are halfway through the podcast, they may be able to grab it.
Sure. If you just Google, you know, CBRE Tech 30, that'll take you to our report landing page. And from there, you're able to download the report pretty easily. And there's also some summarized information that you can go through on that report that gives you the highlights of what's occurred.
So, Colin, the real reason I want to get you and Dennis on is I was really surprised at how well San Diego stands out in this report. It was just really surprising to me. And, you know, normally we see San Diego going anywhere from, you know, it certainly has been a top 20 cluster. But in fact, depending on what you're looking at emerging markets. You list as a number 7, and then I think it was 8th kind of overall. So what has contributed to San Diego moving so many spots up on the list?
So one of the interesting things that's happened in the last several years is that we've seen some of these markets like a San Diego, like an Atlanta, and even a Washington, D.C. market where they've seen tech companies start to really expand in those markets over the last several years, where the major gateway markets like the Bay Area, New York, Seattle, Boston, that the tech growth really started longer ago, really more 5 to 8 years ago, and it's making its way to San Diego, you know, most in the last couple of years. And I think what's ended up happening is because it was a little bit later to arrive, that the growth has maintained itself. And many of the companies have found extraordinary success in these markets as being talent rich. And that is a huge advantage for San Diego, where you produce a lot of tech degree graduates and not nearly as many jobs for them to fill. So you've got a great population coming out of your local universities. And you've also got a great population of, you know, local San Diego graduates who had to move to other markets to work. And they'd love to come back to sunny San Diego, just like you said in the opening, Kevin.
Yeah, technology's perfect climate. We love it here. Dennis, you've been in the market for a long time. What have you seen kind of the last year that you could kind of validate what Colin's seeing about, you know, San Diego not only doing okay, but actually moving up compared to some other clusters in the U.S.?
Right. So a couple of things that are very interesting. San Diego, while it's number 8 overall, we see in the report that under momentum markets, it's number 6. And under most resilient markets, it's number 7. So that's pretty solid. Job growth, number 8. And rent growth, only number 11. So in Sorrento Mesa, if we look at vacancy, in Sorrento Mesa being our most tech-heavy submarket within San Diego, we see rent growth at 15.1%, number 5 on the list. This is rent growth over 2 years.
Dennis, I'm going to stop you for a second just to put that in context. When you mean rent growth, that means in the entire United States, correct?
This is what the average asking rents were in San Diego overall and Sorrento Mesa in particular 2 years ago versus today. I think I got that right, Colin.
Yeah.
So number five on the list of top 30 is San Diego's Sorrento Mesa's rent growth at 15.1%. But overall, San Diego is number 11 with 8.4%. But what was interesting to me, Colin, was that the net absorption over 2 years for San Diego is a plus 0.3%, and in Sorrento Mesa, a minus one. So that might indicate that some of the big players that have come in, like Apple, have leased space in UTC and on the I-15 corridor, so not in the heart of Sorrento Mesa. One of the things I thought was interesting, looking at San Francisco and SoMa, which is their most tech-heavy submarket, rents, annual rents average $84.06, and vacancy at 6.6%, slightly higher rents and much lower vacancy in SoMa. San Diego, our rents are $38 overall, and in Sorrento Mesa, $40 overall, with our vacancy at 11.7% and 16%. So that tells us that real estate, to the extent that that drives any growth or location decisions, San Diego's about half the price per square foot of San Francisco, and they're south of market. And labor, we showed San Francisco at $140,000 and San Diego at $112,000. So it's about 25% lower labor costs, certainly much more significant than rent costs. So, which explains probably why San Diego's number eight overall in the report. And Colin, you're under momentum markets, San Diego is number six, but tell us what are the criteria you use for momentum markets that explain why San Diego is doing so well there?
Yeah, so what we tried to look at there was, what was the growth rate of that market in the last 2 years, and how did it compare to the 2 years before that? So if the growth rate was faster in the most recent 2 years compared to where it was before that, it gained momentum. And so that's what we're really trying to understand. Where you had some of the larger markets such as San Francisco, New York, and Boston, where the growth occurred earlier, that the actual momentum has decreased. So renters had still been increasing in those markets in the last couple of years, but the pace of growth has slowed down versus San Diego, which was the opposite, where you saw growth was slower in the, you know, previous years, but in the most recent couple of years, growth has started to accelerate.
So another question that I wanted to bring up with Colin is, one of the big stories in San Diego, I think a lot of us have talked about this, is we seem to be poised for some explosive growth in life science. So to what extent does life science overlap with tech? In other words, are some life science company employees also considered tech employment? And then, of course, I'm wondering how a potential explosion in life science absorption will affect vacancy and rent growth in San Diego overall.
Yeah. So when we look at the Tech 30 markets, we're not including the life sciences employment. But one of the things that we do, you know, try to incorporate is understanding what's, you know, the composition of the particular market. And the reason I think San Diego has performed so well is that both of those industries, tech and life sciences, have performed very well during the pandemic. And I think that's why you're seeing San Diego be at top of our list and be one of the top markets that we think are going to perform well in the future.
You know, whenever you see one of these reports, you know, you want to talk about how it's affected the pandemic. But one of the things I was really shocked at is, in some ways, how little the pandemic affected, right? If you're tourism, if you're in other industries, and being in San Diego, we have great sensitivity to that. They're our friends and our neighbors. And you look at how the tourism industry has been rocked. And then you look at, you know, on the opposite side of that, and we talked about it earlier, this resiliency for tech. And as an outsider, you'd be saying, well, you know, no one's working at the office anymore, so I'm sure the commercial real estate is going to collapse because no one's going to have offices anymore. And I think we find out that's simply not true. And I think your data proves that out. But talk to me a little bit about this myth that, you know, technology companies, they're all going to work from home and they're not going to be in the offices.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we found out is that work from home is certainly possible. And if you work in an office type of a setting for your job, we've all had to do it. But at the same time, we've also know that people are going to return to the office. People want to return to the office. And this is particularly true for the younger demographics, because, you know, they really need to collaborate more so with their fellow workers, the management teams, to be able to build their, you know, professional networks, the mentoring that they require. But, you know, when we do surveys, we also find that there's going to be more remote work going forward than where we were pre-pandemic. We're probably not going to go back to those kinds of levels. But at the same time, you know, to say that there's going to be perpetual remote work, I think that that's just, you know, a pendulum swing that isn't necessarily something that's going to be sustainable, that people want to get back to the office. And, you know, it's part of the culture of work.
So bringing this back to a little bit more focus on San Diego specifically with work from home, which I think that pendulum is going to swing back, but probably not back where it was before, and a general uncoupling of workers from either a headquarters office or a main office that they need to go to on a regular basis. How is San Diego poised? We talked about climate and rental rates and maybe residential home cost and rental rates. How is San Diego poised to attract growth in tech employment based on favorable geographics and this sort of work from home and uncoupling?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the number one thing for San Diego I go back to is the talent supply that's available in San Diego. That's the number one driver. That's why a tech company would want to come to San Diego, so they can hire the people that they need to be able to fulfill whatever business goal that they have. Certainly, you know, San Diego having a good suburban and urban setup for offices, you know, whether that's in downtown or whether it's Sorrento Mesa or UTC, you've got a really strong variety of different work environments that would appeal to tech companies depending upon what they're doing. So I think that there's a lot of factors that sort of come into play that will make San Diego an area where tech companies will want to continue to grow and to, you know, expand their reach beyond the Bay Area and Seattle.
Yeah, I think Colin, I think you're right. I think talent is the driver. And, you know, we have one of the UCSD, as just one university, has one of the largest computer science classes in the nation, and which with their, you know, HDSI, their data science center recently, it's certainly poised for great growth. In fact, Tech San Diego, we have a full-time executive does nothing but work with university students and stakeholders to make sure that everyone's aware of the opportunities in San Diego. So we certainly, as an organization, recognize the importance of the universities and encourage students to look at the region as their career destination. But getting back to the report a little bit, we also looked at these submarkets. So it looks like in the very big tech clusters, they would be like ultra clustered in, you know, even, you know, 5-10 square miles. And what you've seen and what you detailed is that's also changing too. And we've seen that in San Diego, where, you know, at one time, yes, it was just Sorrento Mesa, but now we see Kearny Mesa, we see downtown, and we see some other areas. Is that a trend that we not only see in San Diego, but you're seeing nationwide as well?
Yeah, so because what ended up happening is that as the tech industry started to expand significantly outside of the major hubs of the Bay Area and Seattle, that they went to particular tech type of submarkets where either there was an existing, you know, tech presence, or the buildings in that particular area had the characteristics that tech companies like, which were, you know, a little bit more historic character, you know, a good sort of street level environment with, you know, amenities and restaurants and more vibrant. And then quickly, those submarkets tend to be rather small. And then very quickly, they expanded beyond that level, that where they had to go to other particular areas because there wasn't enough office space or real estate for them to be able to expand when they find that those areas are really positive. So it spills over into the next best sort of submarket. And we've seen that pattern go across the country.
So Dennis, are there some hidden submarkets that might be emerging in San Diego?
Yes. Typically, Sorrento Mesa has been the hub. And even with Apple's big presence, big story about 1 million square feet leased over the last year and rumors that they're looking for up to another 1 million square feet, which is very big by San Diego standards. That's been sort of centered around Sorta Mesa, partly because they're going after some of the same labor talent that is working at Qualcomm as they're battling over hardware technology. But what's really happening is the fun places to live and work, and where there's a greatly increased supply, is, say, downtown. And so they're converting Horton Plaza into office space. There's a massive new building being built for tech workers in Little Italy on 2100 Kettner. And so, and then the trolley will be connecting UCSD and downtown in about a year or so. So I think downtown and the workers that are not just living downtown, but North Park, Hillcrest, South Park, so I think at Mission Valley would all probably rather commute into downtown and work downtown than to go back and forth to and from UTC. So I think downtown is going to be a great place for some relatively affordable and large quantities, large floor plate, high ceiling type space for tech workers. And I think downtown, for especially for software rather than hardware, could be the major magnet in San Diego.
Well, we've seen some false starts downtown, Dennis, so it'll be interesting. It certainly looks like, you know, as you're looking at Collins describing this, you know, street level and entertainment, it seems like a place that would work for San Diego. We'll see if that happens. Colin, what were you most surprised about in this report?
I think what really surprised me, again, was how resilient the tech industry was. And one of the things that also surprised me, too, was that how concentrated the areas of weakness were in tech. That was really affected the city of San Francisco in the greatest way. And when we think about that, it was really logical from the perspective of what industries were most harmed by the pandemic and the subsequent shutdown. That had to do with transportation, hospitality, restaurants, and retail. And most of the tech companies who are operating in those spaces were based in the city of San Francisco. And consequently, many of them had to cut the amount of employees they had. They had to put sublease space on the market. And that's had a pretty big impact on San Francisco. Where you look at other markets across the country, like San Diego, like Atlanta, like Washington, D.C., as an example, where they're continuing to grow, they offer much more favorable cost structures, have a huge supply of talent, and they're not really burdened by the industries that I mentioned that are most impacted by the shutdown. And so that was really kind of a surprising outcome, and how resilient the real estate markets in those same areas have been, where we've seen reduced leasing activity across the board, across the country, across markets. But the stronger markets have really just sort of flattened out a bit. They're, you know, their rents have flattened out, and they're still trying to maintain a respectable level of leasing activity as companies are planning for the future.
So, Colin, a company like Airbnb or Uber and Lyft obviously suffered, and then companies like Zoom obviously zoomed. And so that's a little bit of the segmentation you're talking about, companies that did better and companies that didn't.
Exactly. And so you think about e-commerce, that's been a booming business. Streaming video, that's been a booming business. Social media, that's been a booming business. So you have all those aspects of that have benefited from, you know, increased work at home and the reduced mobility of the population.
Well, and if you look at San Diego, I think in the past, I think diversity translates into resiliency, right? And so if you look at San Diego, when, you know, communications went down, defense went up. And so I think the diversity, and I don't see that as a marker or as a performance indicator, but Colin, you may want to look at that and look at the diversity since you're seeing this, but look at the diversity of the tech clusters, especially if you're looking at an emerging growth. So if there's future calamities or you know, things that happen in the economy, those tech economies that are more diverse are more likely to be more resilient.
That's right. I mean, so it affects you on the upside as well as the downside, because you'll see markets like San Diego that didn't see the booming amount of job growth compared to San Francisco, Seattle, and some of these other markets, but it's not seeing the downside either. because it is a much more stable market. And stability is something that investors and companies really strive for, because they want to be able to have a little bit of predictability in their business and not have to worry about large ups and large downs.
Yeah, in fact, I've tracked and I wrote some pieces about San Diego typically leads the country out of recession or depression. So San Diego certainly seems to have that. Dennis, in what ways do you think San Diego may deviate from what Colin's writing about? Or do you see any, did you read the report and say, well, that's not true in San Diego or San Diego? What did you really notice, Dennis, when looking at the report and then looking at San Diego specifically?
Well, first of all, all of Colin's work, I think it's a really good report. I didn't see anything where I said, that seems odd. And I noticed that under sort of risk factors, we had the XY coordinate quadrant graph, and San Diego was about dead center, as about dead center as you could be in from all four quadrants. So, but what I got from the report was, just like a lot of San Diego tenants, who is really to a large extent our membership, Kevin, are getting sticker shock when they see that, you know, rents have gone up 8% overall in the last 2 years, and maybe in Sorna Mesa up 15% in the last 2 years. That has not even gotten as close to one half of the rent per rentable square foot in San Francisco or its tech submarket. So I think the battle is really for supply, availability, and cost of talent. And that real estate in San Diego is a huge advantage for us. And while it may be painful for some of our members to be paying higher rents, compared to almost every other, certainly all of the other markets in the top half, our rents are quite a bit more modest. Los Angeles maybe being the only other one that was very comparable. So yeah, I think San Diego is poised with supply and rental rate costs. And now it's, can we have employers be attractive enough to our talent?
I know several tech C-suite teams that, you know, it's terrible being a pandemic, but on the good side, you know, our lease is up in 6 months, and I know we're going to get really good rates, and we're not finding that to be the case, right? It's like you said, if you look versus last year, some, you know, rates have actually gone up. Do you think there'll be any attempt to rezone? Now, if we were talking about retail, we'd have a completely different conversation. Do you think there'll be any attempts to kind of rezone some retail places that would just never come back? Will we try to change those into commercial real estate?
Yeah. So even before the pandemic, Horton Plaza was being converted to office space. The Palladium, another retail project being converted to office space. The Thomas Jefferson School of Law, a magnificent building, they moved out. And that's been converted and put on the market for office space. And a number of opportunities where, and certainly in Sorna Mesa, a lot of industrial space being converted into office or tech office space. There's definitely been a shifting there. As far as people saying, oh my gosh, my lease is up in 6 months or 12 months, so now's a really good time to be in the market. It depends. If you're in Torrey Pines, it's not a good time to be in the market. It's just a great time to be in the life science business. If you're in Sorna Mesa, I think the jury's still out. There may be a few bargains, but probably not much adjustment in rental rates. Downtown, I think if you have a lease expiring in 12 or 18 months, and so you're going to be in the market in the next 6 to 10 months, could be a really good time, certainly in the short term, because San Diego downtown is going to have, we may hit 25% vacancy before we turn the corner. So a lot of those buildings I just mentioned, they're in the process of forming joint ventures with life science developers to have that space not converted into office, but converted into life science. So they're making that bet. We'll see if that affects vacancy. But now's a great time to be looking for space in downtown. Not a great time to be looking for space in Torrey Pines.
Good. Colin, you know, it sounds from this report that if you have these conversations across the country, that San Diego certainly seems poised for growth and seems to be going well. On the flip side of that, and we won't tell them you said this, and I'm sure they won't listen, but what regions would you be sitting and say, wow, we're kind of in trouble a little bit? What traditional tech regions are on the downside?
Well, I mean, certainly the city of San Francisco is the most impacted market of all the 30 that we tracked for the reasons I talked about, because of the transportation, hospitality, and retail industries that tech, you know, serves in those, in that particular market. So that's the most at-risk market that we have. In contrast, just, you know, 50 miles away, you have Silicon Valley, which is really our top resilient market. And the reason for that is because it contains the top blue chip tech companies that are headquartered there, that businesses are doing well. You know, whether it's search, whether it's social media, whether it's video streaming, whether it's, you know, news conferencing and those kinds of things. We see that as being a positive. I would say overall in general, what you can sort of tag to the markets that are struggling a little bit are the ones that are heavily dependent upon public transportation, are very high density markets in terms of high rises. Those are the markets that are probably going to be the slowest to recover and are going to be most impacted by the extended work from home, which many of the tech companies are looking at summer or fall of 2021 before they start to return. And as long as those employees stay out, those downtown areas are going to be, let's just call it, very underutilized for a period of time. And so that will delay any kind of recovery in those markets where, you know, more suburban or slightly urbanized type markets could rebound much quicker because they're not as reliant on public transportation. And, many of the, you know, office buildings are lower rise. And so you don't have the problem of how do you get, you know, people up a 50 story building efficiently when that building can accommodate 5,000 people. And, you know, you could be waiting in line for 2 hours to get to your office.
Yeah. Perils of working in a Salesforce building, I guess. So we've discussed kind of how resilient the industry is. We've kind of zeroed in on San Diego a little bit. Dennis took us a tour through kind of why San Diego is doing so well. So we are going to think about ending this podcast. And again, I would just highly urge people to go to CBRE website and not only download this report, but keep an eye on all of Colin's work in the tech center at CBRE. We've really grown to rely on the information. And Colin, congratulations to you and your team. When people are looking about how the tech industry is going, this is really one of the first reports, and we always look forward to new reports when they come out. Do you have anything on the back burner or anything you're currently working on that we should keep an eye out for?
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly are always looking at some sort of micro topics. One that we recently put out, which I think would be quite interesting to, you know, your listeners, is we looked at a where the tech talent is being produced by university. And you'll find a lot of San Diego University is near the top of that list in terms of the amount of tech degree graduates. That's something we put out recently. We also look at leasing activity by individual market, another area where San Diego's perform relatively well, given the fact that leasing activity in the tech industry overall across the US is down by 50%. San Diego actually saw an increase in leasing activity. So those are other little small micro things that you might look at our Tech Insight Center, as well as our major reports. The Tech Talent Report is also one to keep an eye on as well.
Dennis, how do people get a hold of you?
They can look up Dennis Hurst, H-E-A-R-S-T, like Hurst Castle. No relation. I'm not worth kidnapping. So they can go to CBRE.com and search for Dennis Hurst, or put in Dennis Hurst San Diego. And now is a great time for people that maybe they're not ready to make decisions, or they're not ready to implement a strategic move, but to begin formulating a strategy about what kind of space do we need, how much space do we need, where should we put it. We have some really good commute study analytics, and we have some great labor concentration heat spots. And so to a very large extent, people's real estate decisions are really people decisions. And, you know, where do the employees live that they have, where, and what does the commutes look like, and where, if they're anticipating growth, where do the people that have the credentials that they're looking for, where do they live? And that should really be driving real estate decisions. Real estate decisions should be sort of filtered back in after these analytics. But now is a really good time to be starting the analytical process so that people are poised to make strategic decisions in the next 6, 12, 18 months.
And, you know, not a commercial for CBRE, but all of my information on commercial real estate comes from Dennis. So, Dennis, you're always a font of information. I think you're right. You know, we talk about price and price per square foot, but that's only part of it. I know a lot of our membership really depends on CBRE, not just to direct them on, you know, what's the best price per square foot, but the things you mentioned, that it is. It's a you're right, Dennis. It's a people problem, right? And, you know, where's your workforce and where's your future workforce and what is the future mobility? All these things that people may not think about or may not have the resources. It's great that CBRE can scale up and bring resources. I mean, this is a good example here. You know, Colin's in San Francisco and we're bringing him into, you know, a San Diego a podcast to talk about what's going on in the San Diego market. So thank you, CBRE, for helping the tech community in San Diego. We rely on you and need you here and very dependable for helping us make good decisions on where we're located. So we're going to end this podcast and we'll see you next time. You could visit this and other podcast on Spotify or iTunes. You go to techsd.org, look for Tech San Diego events. And until next time, we'll see you from Tech San Diego. Goodbye.
TSD Spotlight is a production by Tech San Diego. Major thanks to Dennis Hurst and Colin Yasukochi for taking time to join us today. To see the full Tech 30 report, visit cbre.us and search tech-30. This podcast is recorded remotely and edited by Andrew Sims of Hypable Impact. Executive producers are Sarah Spiva and Kevin Carroll. This is the TechSD Spotlight.